Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Smoko Podcast. My name is Alexis Armstrong, your host. Nice to meet you. The Smoko Podcast is the place to celebrate and highlight women, trans women, and non-binary folk working within STEM and trade occupations. So please tune in, take a break, and join us. We are on Smoko. Today, we are joined by the lovely Elizabeth Williams, who is a graduate of a building surveyor, and she's working on becoming a project manager right now. She works in the field of construction, so we're going to talk to her about her experience working within construction, her experience as a building surveyor, what that means, and how she completed her apprenticeship straight from sixth form. So this is something that I don't really know much about. I don't know how the apprenticeship works. I don't really know what a building surveyor does, so I can't wait to learn more and to talk to Elizabeth today and for her to explain kind of her experience and how she became a surveyor. So thank you so much, Elizabeth, for coming on to the show. It is so nice to meet you. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to talk to you today.
Me too. I'm really excited as well, and I can't wait to get into it. And maybe that's where we start at the very beginning. Could you walk through how you discovered surveying and how you discovered that this was the career for you? Did you always know that it existed? Did you always know that this was going to be you? How did that happen?
So yeah, I didn't really know sort of when I was in secondary school what I wanted to do, like when I grew up. I was a bit unsure, like a lot of people my age were at that time. Mm-hmm. And sort of in the UK, you go to university, so you have to decide what degree you want to pick. So there are lots of different options. Construction is just a small part of lots of the choices that you can pick. And I sort of had an interest in architecture from a young mm-hmm. age. I quite liked art and design, so I thought that could be sort of a good thing to go into. But following some taster days that I did at universities, I sort of decided, oh, really, that's not for me. And that was okay. But then it was, what do I do after that? Mm-hmm. So I was starting to have a look at construction management degrees. Again, you're not really taught this in school, so I didn't really know much about it at all, to be honest, other than your sort of your core yeah. subjects like geography, art, maths, the things that you do in school. So it was quite, it was new to me, really. So I wasn't really sure about it at the time. But I ended up going to a careers convention at my sixth form, because at the sixth form that I went to, you have to do a week of work experience. So I was forced okay. to go and talk to people and network, which I'm so glad I did now.
Yeah.
So I went to that and I approached this company where I'm now. And I said, oh, have you got any work experience? And they said, yeah, we have. So I was like, great. So I joined them for 2 weeks, and I actually was supposed to be there to do a week in architecture just to see if I liked it or not. And the people that I were talking with, they actually building surveyors. So I thought, okay, I'll give that a go. So I was going to be there for a week doing a week of building surveying and then also a week of architecture. So I went on the 2 weeks work experience. I actually didn't do any architecture at all. I just did building surveying for 2 weeks and I really liked it. I think because with building surveying, if I just explain sort of what it is a bit
Yes, please. Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Building surveying can be like commercial and residential, but mainly where I was, it was more sort of residential, I guess. So we'd go on surveys, like damp and mold surveys, do structural surveys, sort of like small construction works, maybe like an extension to a house, refurbishment work. So quite small scale, I suppose. It can be sort of bigger projects. Mm-hmm. And I think I quite liked it because it wasn't all just being stuck in an office. I had that ability to be able to go out and see things and learn from other people. And it's quite hard just looking at things in construction on a screen or a book. Mm-hmm. So being able to go out onto site and have a look at, you know, construction, you know, whether that be sort of older buildings or newer buildings, it was really interesting, and that's sort of how I really got into it. But yeah, I didn't really know much about it, and I think in school you're not really taught a lot about construction or different industries. So I was really, really lucky to be able to go to that careers convention that I had at my sixth form and find this wonderful company who gave me some work experience, and then I found surveying. Yeah.
Ah, that's so cool. I love that story. And you're right, like I don't think that this is taught at all when you're in university or even earlier. Like, I just don't think that you know that that's an option. And it's so beautiful that you found this industry and this subtype from that one company. And it almost sounds kind of like building surveyor is very similar to architecture in a way, but it's more hands-on. It sounds like it has the kind of same design elements and the same structural elements as you would expect with architecture.
Yeah, I suppose I can't really speak too much for an architect because I'm not one, so I won't want to offend anybody by getting it wrong. But yeah, I suppose both of them can be quite technical, really. So there are quite a lot of similarities. Maybe you'd use more sort of like CAD and BIM, so your tools to like do your drawings and things like that, which we wouldn't really use as a building surveyor. Maybe sort of like quite basic floor plans or things like that, which even when I do now takes me forever because I'm just sort of when you're out of practice with CAD, for example, it's really hard to pick up the skills again. So I suppose as an architect, you'll be doing that quite a lot. Yeah, I suppose there are elements that are quite similar, but in terms of like the design and things like that, I just decided I wasn't really interested in it, and that was okay.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
was fine that that wasn't for you. You like the more hands-on stuff. That's absolutely amazing, and to be able to go to site and to see it. And yes, I agree with like if you don't use technical programs like CAD or any like it's
Yeah.
very hard to go back into it to be like, "Oh my goodness, how does this work? What's going on here? Like, how do I move a shape?" When we talk about your degree and your completion of your apprenticeship straight from six, could you kind of describe what that actually means for someone not within the UK? Because I know that it's a big accomplishment and it allows you to go straight into industry, but what does that actually look like? Is sixth form your school and then you're getting your apprenticeship alongside that? How does that work?
So if I just explain sort of from the start for anyone that doesn't know, but in the UK you have like primary school, so that would be sort of ages 4 to 11 roughly. Then you'll go into secondary school, which is ages 12 to 16, and then after that you can either go to college or you can go to sixth form. So college I would say is a bit more relaxed. You would do either your A levels or a BTEC. So A levels would be like your core subjects that you would be taught in school, like maths, again geography, art. They're the ones that I did actually, so that's why I give those examples. Or you could go to college and then sort of do your A levels as well, or you could do a BTEC, which is a bit more sort of hands-on, like hairdressing. You could do construction actually in
Vocational
college.
school almost.
Yeah, so you can do A levels there as well, and people do, but I would just say college is a bit more relaxed because in college you can sort of only be there for the days you need to be, whereas sixth form is like being in school, so you wear a school uniform. You have to be there 5 days a week. So the structure is very different. So I went from sixth form. So once you finish sixth form, you then go and do a degree. Like that's optional. You don't have to do that if you don't want to. You could go straight into work. And that would be when you're 18 years old that you would then go to university. And that's, yeah, like I said, it's completely optional. You don't have to go if you don't want to. And a lot of people in my year did actually go straight into industry, which is great. And in the UK, this is something that you have to pay for as well when you go and do a degree. So, yeah, it's not typically funded, but I was quite lucky because the company that I did the work experience with, I actually got to do my degree apprenticeship with as well. So, I was
Oh,
very
amazing.
fortunate that I got on well with them and I had that opportunity. So, essentially, straight out of sixth form, I went to university and did a degree in building surveying. So, what that meant was, as a degree apprentice, I would work for, in the first year, was actually 3 days I worked in industry, and then 2 days I'd be at university. And then after that, the last 3 years, so my degree was 4 years in total, I would work 4 days of the week and then one day studying. So yeah, I can imagine looking back now, it was quite challenging at the time. I think you're sort of just in the
You're in
zone
it.
and yeah, you've got a routine, haven't you? So you do sort of get used to it. And I was very used to studying in the evening because that's what I needed to do to sort of have a free weekend, which I think we all need after a long week. But yeah, I was very fortunate to be able to do that. And then it also meant that my degree was funded, so I didn't have to pay for it either. So it was really good. Like I got my hands-on experience and I also got to study as well and get a
Oh my
qualification at the
goodness.
end.
Yeah, like
Yeah.
that's fantastic. And like from like my point of view of being like a North American and being a Canadian, I wish that we had something like that because that's such a good setup for the rest of your professional career because you already have this like amazing work experience baked in and like networks and you already kind of have that technical knowledge and real life experience that I mean, in our system, that you don't really get until after you've graduated college, maybe at a summer job, but that's difficult to grab. That's really, really cool. Is there something that you look back now that you're like so proud of yourself or like surprised by the fact that you were able to do that? Like when you said you look back and you're like, oh my goodness, that was so much work.
Yeah, definitely. I think particularly in the last year, I just graduated in July of this year actually.
Congrats.
So that last sort of 8 months was really hard, particularly with work, because where I've progressed in my role at work, obviously my responsibility has become more. So I was doing more at work, but then I was also having to do more at university as well. And it was a lot at one point. There were a few tears, I won't lie, when the days were
I could
hard.
imagine.
Yeah, that was quite difficult, but I think in the end, when I had to do my dissertation, which was like a 10,000 word essay as
Wow.
such on my own topic, it was challenging, but I had lots of support from people at home, my family, my boyfriend, and also
Oh.
my colleagues at work. And I think that really sort of it got me through, really, because I produced something that I was really proud of in the end. But it was just all the time and the effort that had to go into that. I can't remember how many hours I spent on that.
Oh my
I'm sure it was over
goodness.
like 100 hours when I checked at the end.
That's great. Yeah, it's a mini thesis. It's basically like a true dissertation, a master's degree, or like that's insane. That's very, very cool. It's a lot of work that goes into it. And what an amazing experience that you can come now out of it with so much work experience. Do you now have kind of, I know you're working to become a chartered project manager. Will you have your work experience and your work hours? Will that from your degree and your apprenticeship, will that count towards your professional designation?
Yeah, so in the UK, to become a chartered project manager or a chartered building surveyor, whatever you would like,
Yeah.
you do it through RICS, which is
Okay.
just the body that where how you become chartered through. So for that, it's like a 2-year program in order to become chartered. So some of what I've already done, I can use. What you do is you do like a diary each week of things that you do. So I record every day what I do against like a competency, for example, contract administration would be one, and I sort of allocate what I've done each day against that. So yeah, some of what I've done within my last year, not really the 3 years before that I could use, but anything that I've sort of done in my last year can count towards that, or like the basic knowledge of things, which is really handy to have, because some people that go straight into a degree and they just do it straight and they go away and they have the fun and they party, which I didn't do.
Yeah, you were working. You were working
I was
full time.
working. But then they don't get the experience, so I'm
Yeah.
slightly ahead of other people. I mean, I won't rush. I'll take my time with it. I probably will sort of take the 2 years to get done what I want to get done, but then that's just me wanting to make sure I'm competent and I do my best. So
Yeah.
it's no rush. There's
Yeah.
no rush to do that. And I think I sort of deserve a little bit of a break after doing the degree as well. So
Yes, you do. It sounds like it's almost full-time work plus school plus a dissertation. I agree with that. I think you do deserve a break, but that's beautiful that it does count towards your designation or your chartering if you would like it to. What a leg up. Like that's amazing. All your hard work, it definitely pays off. For your job right now or for your apprenticeship, for this experience when you were like working and doing school and basically doing it all, do you have something that sticks out that you're like, this is the coolest thing that I've learned through my apprenticeship? Is there anything that you were like, oh my God, completely mind blown when you first learned
I suppose maybe that there is so much to learn.
it? Okay.
I suppose I can say that. There is a lot to learn. I suppose it's being able to appreciate that you're not going to know everything. And, I think you sort of have to specialize in something that particularly interests you. And it's okay to sort of ask other people for help and know that construction is so broad and there's so many different areas that you could specialize in. There is a lot to know. But sort of one standout moment I did have, which I really enjoyed actually, was when I was at university and I had the opportunity to sort of do a bit more like practical work, which was really fun. So what we did is one day we were looking at building defects. So I actually had the opportunity to go into a lab,
Cool.
and there was one of the lecturers actually brought in a rafter from his home. I don't know why, but it was just there. And we got to use microscopes, just sort of on this camera, and we got to look for like things like woodworm, wood insect holes, when they're eating into the wood, look for signs of damp. And I think because that was quite practical, I thought, oh, that's really interesting, because if I was actually out in the field, I might not necessarily get to do that. So actually getting to see inside, just a
Yeah.
different view, I thought was really interesting. And that was sort of one of my standout moments, doing something a bit different, I think.
Yeah, completely.
So that was
And
really fun.
that's so cool. And it's so practical, but it's also so different. Yeah, you're not going to have that ability to go kind of on like the nano microsphere at work. Like you're never going to be like, okay, let's bring this back to the lab and let's look at it on a micro lens. But it's beautiful to have that experience because I bet you now you'll probably be able to look at a macro piece of wood or like a building and be like, okay, I bet you I actually know what's going on the inside of it because my professor showed me that, right? Like you'll have that experience now and that knowledge. That's really interesting.
Yeah, and I suppose when someone's talking about that, then you can almost envision like what's inside and what's going on inside, because I wouldn't get the opportunity to see that. So yeah, that was really interesting.
That's very cool. And I love your first answer as well on like what's your biggest learning? And it's the fact of just learning in general. It's like on a total big macro lens of just how much information there is and how many specialties there are in construction anything on your apprenticeship when they were talking about different specialties of construction that you were like, oh my goodness, I hope in 10 years I get to do this one specific type of residential or one specific type of commercial? Anything that you were like, I have to get there eventually, or that stands out?
That's a good question. I suppose there's sort of nothing really to me that stands out. I enjoy doing the job that I do at the moment, so I'm very comfortable with doing what I do. If I just, can I explain like what I do?
Yes,
is
please.
That okay?
Yeah, of
because we
course,
haven't
go
done
for
that
it.
yet.
Yeah.
That might help. Although my degree was in building surveying, just the way things went with COVID and working from home, obviously that was quite challenging with being an apprentice because I didn't get to have any sort of time with people, actual people. It was all on Teams. So I do feel like my learning sort of slowed down a bit. But from that, I had the opportunity to get involved with project management work, employer's agent work. So that's
okay.
really what I do now rather than building surveying. So that would
okay.
be more sort of contract administration work, going to site, attending progress meetings. So that would sort of all be on new residential developments, mainly in London at the moment, varying scales, some quite large, some a bit smaller. So that's sort of what I do at the moment. And sort of on my a day-to-day, what I would do would, for example, be issue payment notices or when a contractor submits their valuation for the month,
okay,
the works that they're claiming and they've done, I would go to site and I would check that they've done what they've said they've done. And then we might issue a payment
okay.
notice, for example. So that's quite different to building surveying.
That is more project management and more, yes.
Definitely,
it is
very
different.
And that's why I've decided not to become chartered in building surveying, just because although it can be really interesting and there are elements that I like, I just think I'm quite an organized person actually. And I quite like colored charts and things like that. So I think project management just suits me a lot more than
Yeah,
building
this
surveying,
is
which
for
is,
you.
yeah, I think so. And that's why I've decided to go down that route. So yeah, I don't know. I can't remember what the question was. What did you ask me?
No, that was perfect. And thank you for taking that like time to explain it and to explain kind of like your role right now and what is a day to day and your responsibilities. The question was of like when you're first learning, because you loved how much knowledge there was out there. If there was something that maybe like a goal post or like an end goal that you were like, oh, that would be really cool to work within that one sector, like this one sector of commercial or one sector of residential. It's fine if there wasn't a goal post either. I was just more curious.
I suppose maybe not from university, but from what the way the industry is at the moment, I suppose I'm quite interested in becoming a retrofit coordinator. So that's how we would, you know, help get our current buildings and homes to net zero. So I think that's quite relevant. And I could see there is a bit of a gap there that I could do that. And I think that could be really interesting because my dissertation was on modern methods of construction. So although that's not necessarily net zero, it's sort of,
it's new. It's new.
Yeah,
and it's towards that
say.
Goal of sustainability and net zero. And net zero,
yeah.
Is that like completely self-sufficient or off the grid project? What does that actually mean, that term?
I believe, and don't quote me on this.
Okay.
it's zero emissions from homes, or
okay.
I don't know if that's generally homes or during the construction process.
Very cool.
So I guess, for example, like insulating homes better, maybe using solar panels, for example. So yeah, I mean, I haven't been on the course yet. That's sort of on the list of things to do. So I'm sure if I was to speak to you after I'd done that, I'd know a bit more about what the options would be to retrofit homes. But yeah, I can imagine that's going to be quite a big thing at some point, and looking at what we've already got in the industry. So I'd be really keen to get involved in that at some point.
That's very cool. That's a really cool end goal and something to do in the future. I really love that. I think you're right. I think that there is a gap currently on trying to bring our homes back, and like especially old buildings as well, and to get them to where we are right now. For your job right now, is there a favorite part of it? What's a task that you love to do when you get to organize and color code and do what you love to do?
I suppose probably the biggest thing is being able to see just the construction of new homes, like from conception to completion. I think that's something that, even though you sort of play such a small part, when you see the bigger picture at the end, you just think, wow, like we've all actually done that, and it's such a team effort. And I think that's seeing the progress every month is really good to see, and it makes me sort of feel proud that I'm doing my role and I'm doing a good job to help contribute towards something. So I'd probably say that's one of the biggest things. I also get to, you know, I get to go out and go to different places, and I try and remember, like, even when I go to site, like, say if I finish at 5 and that's the end of my day, Don't always rush straight home, like spend a bit of time, find out where you are in the area and maybe just have a little wander around, you know, just so you can go to new places. So I suppose I'm quite fortunate that I can explore London a bit more as well in my role, which is quite nice, sort of in my
Yes.
free time.
I love that. That's a wonderful part of your answer. And I love that mindset of just not rushing home and enjoying the moment and enjoying that one project for where it is and what location is and that neighborhood. Because London is such a cool city too. So to be able to like be part of it and to be part of the builds and see little areas, I think that would be really beautiful. Very cool
Yeah,
answer.
it's really good. We have one project near Battersea Power Station. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but Google it if
Okay,
you
I'll
haven't.
Google it.
It's
Okay.
quite interesting. And they've just redeveloped all of that, and it's like a shopping mall now. It's a really vibrant area, and it's
Cool.
I love walking around there.
Oh, that's
It's
awesome.
really cool. Yeah, I think for
That's
the Christmas shopping it will be really good. But it's such an upcoming area at the moment, so definitely have a look if you've not seen it before. But I can imagine sort of living there would be really cool to do.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, that's really cool that you get to explore different neighborhoods and like get to be part of like a neighborhood becoming vibrant or becoming really cool and like building buildings within it. Do you have one that sticks out of being like maybe odd or being a little bit different? Or has there been a situation where you're like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that I'm responsible for this project or I'm responsible for this task? Anything kind of come to mind there?
Yeah, so more recently, it wasn't the construction of anything. I actually did a feasibility study looking at security.
Okay.
So this one was actually in a bank. So I guess that was a bit quirky. It was actually like a bank for a different country. So that was a bit
Whoa.
different. I won't say what one it is,
No,
but
no,
that was a bit different. And although I didn't actually get to go into the bank, it was like just down to like one of the plant rooms. I thought, oh, this is quite cool. This is a bit different. It was
Yeah.
quite small scale, and I think because we got to look at different design options, because basically there was like this shared entrance between the bank and the plant room. So this was the plant room for the landlord. So it's how they would get down to the plant room in case there was a flood, which they have had before, without obviously compromising the security of the bank.
Whoa.
So that was quite interesting. I think just because we could come up with different ideas, and it wasn't too complex, but I think just having something different to do away from sort of construction was really interesting. So yeah. See, if I walk past that one, I'll be like, oh, I helped on that one. So
Yeah, that's one of the for sure that sticks in your mind. That's really freaking cool. And like, yeah, I wanted to think of that of like a security point of view, because I bet you a lot of your projects, even if they're different or cool in different neighborhoods, they are probably similar in terms of like residential or commercial builds. But this fact that it's a bank makes the function of it a little bit quirky and a little bit unique.
yeah, and I think, well, I didn't know that was there. So, you know, again, just going to somewhere different is quite interesting.
Oh, very cool. That's a cool project. I feel like that's going to be something that probably sticks out for a little bit. For this is maybe looking at it a little bit of a macro lens. And is there any misconceptions that you think maybe people outside of the industry doesn't really understand about the construction industry, doesn't understand about what you do?
I mean, I suppose when you think of construction, you think very like hands-on, like manual labor, and it's although that is a large part of it, there are so many different roles that you can do, and I guess that's one of the biggest points I want to get across is, you know, I guess even before I joined, you just think construction is dominated by men, and there are a lot of men in construction. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll go to a meeting and I'll be the only woman in the room, and that's very normal, but there are lots of women that are joining the industry. You do see them on site, sort of doing roles like an electrician, for example. Maybe not so much, but there are women there that are interested in doing that. For example, like bricklaying, which is really good to see. And I think, oh wow, when I see a woman on site, I'm like, that's great. That's really good. But particularly in more like the professional roles, like quantity surveying, building surveying, project management, you are getting a lot more women. So it's really, really good to see. But I think just not forgetting that you're not going to be the only one, you know, there are a lot of men, but there are lots of women too, and there's, you know, lots of networking events that happen, and you can always meet new people. And then I think maybe, yeah, one of the biggest thing is being able to encourage more women to join the industry, because that would always be really nice. So
Yeah, that would be really nice, and I agree with that. But yeah, I think you're right that is a misconception that there is zero women to begin with, and you're like, okay, there might
yeah.
not be a huge amount. Like, we're definitely still in the minority, but these industries and these kind of non-traditional roles, women are starting to enter more, which is wonderful to see. So we are there. And then the fact that there's so many different options in construction. I mean, I didn't know a position like building surveyor or I knew that project management, but again, the different specialties that you can take project management, like for instance, your role is a little bit different and a little bit niche to this one specific type of construction and this one specific type of project. So it's really cool to see that there's so many different career options that you definitely don't realize as an outsider to the industry.
Yeah, definitely. And I recently got involved with Girls Under Construction, which they really luckily gave me the opportunity to speak with you, which was amazing of them. And just looking on their page particularly, you can see like a lot of women are getting into things like structural engineering, which is great to see, you know. So just looking at organisations like that are encouraging women to join the industry is really great to see.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like, I love all the organizations and the not-for-profits. And then I also just love seeing like women that have been within the industry for a little bit longer, or for there historically are like, you know what, let's change it ourselves. Like, let's like expedite this process. Like, yes, more women are entering it, but let's make this quicker and let's give them some resources. It's just beautiful to see. It's really beautiful to see an organization like that. I love it. And I love that they connected me with you. That's wonderful.
I know, it was really great. I'm very thankful to them for the opportunity. And more recently, you know, Girls Under Construction gave me the chance to. We did like a social media campaign with Go Construct. Yeah, that was really cool. I mean, I wasn't very good at sort of putting my bit together, but
no,
the girls there, you know, the girls there sorted it all out, and all the videos were great. And even for me, getting to watch a day in the life of someone else in the industry was really interesting as well. So I was really glad that I got to be a part of that social media campaign. And I think things like that will really help encourage women to get into the industry. And I believe Girls Under Construction have got a networking event coming up. So I think the date's still to be confirmed, but that will be really cool to attend. So if I can, I'll definitely be there just to meet other like-minded women. And yeah, I think just getting to know more women, and I think just feeling like you're not the only one, because I think other than in your company, it's hard to sort of know what other females are doing in the industry. So networking events like that, I would definitely encourage anyone that's interested in construction to sort of have a look at them, get involved, just find out a bit more.
No, I love it. And I couldn't agree more. I think like we get so, it's hard within our bubble when there's only maybe one or two of us to know what someone else's experience is like. But then you have these networking events, you get to actually meet them in person. All of a sudden, you realize it's not just one or two. But then there's social media campaigns like you guys did of your day in the life is so beautiful, because it puts it into perspective again, that kind of misconception that you were talking about, that everything is hands-on and everything in construction looks a certain way. And then getting to see like, okay, this is like every single person's different day in the life. It's really powerful to be like, okay, careers look a little bit different and there's more options there. You're currently, for your day-to-day, is there a challenge about your job or industry? Is there anything that comes to mind? And if there is, what helps you overcome that challenge?
I suppose for me, it would be having the confidence to ask questions. That's something that I've really struggled with, particularly from the start. I think because I'm quite independent and I sort of, I'm really, you know,
like,
I want to
do
things
on
my own. Yeah, literally. And I've always sort of been like that as well with everything. So I'm very used to, you know, figuring things out on my own. But I think it's recognizing that if you do need help, you know, just ask a question, because I think, you know, like I said at the start, there's so much that there is to learn in the industry. And it's, you know, when you're on site and there are people that are specialised in something particular, taking the opportunity to speak with them and learn from them, it's quite hard. I find it really hard. And I think it's knowing that you probably know more than you think you do,
which is definitely my case.
Yeah, so I think that's probably one of the biggest things, just having the confidence to ask questions. And, you know, that's the only way you're going to develop and learn more. And I think that was what was so good about doing the apprenticeship, was because I had the opportunity to, you know, gain the skills that you need to be able to liaise with clients, for example. And that's not something that you learn in school. You know, you have to learn that at work.
Yeah.
So totally. I think particularly if you don't know something, I'm always like, I don't know. Like, I'll get back to you on that one. And I'm learning to say that if I don't know. And I think being quite independent, because becoming a chartered project manager, you know, you've got to
you
be confident.
You kind of have to be, yeah.
Yeah, you do have to be. And I would only want to be the best. So I guess, yeah, definitely for anyone that's starting out, or even still in the industry now, making sure you ask lots of questions and learning from the people around you, I think is really important.
I think that's such a good answer. And I think it's such a mature answer, because I also think that it's it's something that everyone struggles with. I know I personally struggled with, especially early career. I thought if I asked a question, it kind of proved that I didn't know something. And I was so scared of not knowing something or not showing competency. And I kind of got into the trap that I felt like I had to know everything about all of geology. And I was like, that's just way too big of a subject matter. That's like literally the history of the earth. Like, you can't know everything. There's no way. So it took me a long time, I think, to learn how to feel comfortable asking questions. And I think that confidence thing, it takes time. But I love that with your apprenticeship, you do have this beautiful foundation of half theoretical with your thesis and then with your theory, but then also with your practical knowledge. I love that it gives you kind of a boost in confidence and that you can learn how to ask questions. And what has helped you? Has it just been like being like, okay, you got this, of like positive self-talk? Is it just time? Is it remembering your education and remembering your apprenticeship to be like, yep, okay, you got this, you have both skills? Or remembering your goal of being like, yeah, I want to become a chartered project manager and this is going to be something that I have to do in my role. What helps you get there?
Yeah, I think definitely knowing that that's a part of my job, like something I'm gonna have to do, and the only way I'm gonna get better at doing something is practice. So I always try and I like to challenge myself. So I always think if it's something that I'm not comfortable with, like just be a yes person sometimes and say, yes, I'm gonna go and do that and I'm gonna try that, even when it is sort of particularly uncomfortable. And I always, a lot of the time, I'll go to site and think, oh, I bet they're gonna think I'm really stupid or I don't know what I'm talking about. But then I have to just remind myself that I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, just go for it. And it's never as bad as what it seems. It never is it?
It's true.
So I sort of just, I get, no, I'll be nervous all day about, going to site, and there's absolutely no need because it's always fine.
You build it up so much, and then you get there and
You
you're like, oh, this
do.
is a walk in the park, man. I got this.
You do. And I think it's just reminded myself of that a bit more. And I don't think I'll ever change. I'll always be a bit of a worrier about things. I think as well, if like knowing if I'm not sure about something, I'll always like check with someone, one of my colleagues, before I go to site. Or, if someone's talking about something, I'll always do a bit of a Google, if I'm
Yeah,
not
that's
sure about what
fine.
they were on about. And that's totally fine to do because, like you said, there's too much to know and you're not always going to know everything. And I think, yeah, just knowing where I want to be with my end goal of being like a chartered project manager and knowing that I will get there eventually. And it does take time, doesn't it, to develop and grow. And even the people that are really experienced make mistakes or,
Oh, totally. It's just
do
human
something wrong.
nature. Yes, exactly. Yeah. No, that's beautiful to be like, okay, well, just remember where you're going and it's okay. And it's fine if you always have a little bit of nerves kind of in the back of your head. That's completely human nature and that's fine. And I think it's a good thing. I've met people in my career that have never asked a question and you're like, oh, stay away from these guys, man. They don't even know when they're wrong, right? Like it's that too much confidence. It's kind of sometimes nice to have a little bit of a healthy amount of skepticism about like, okay, well, is this correct? And maybe talk to somebody and talk to a friend. I think it's perfect. And maybe this is where we bring in your thesis, because I would love to ask about kind of your end conclusions from your thesis, because it sounded really cool of like new building materials and construction. And maybe this is it, that's the answer of it. But is there something that you're really passionate about or excited about the future of your industry, either within project management or within construction?
So I really enjoyed in my dissertation, I think because I spent so long doing it, I suppose that probably does help. And I had to pick a topic that I was,
Interested
interested
in.
in. And I sort of felt like a lot of people would focus on sustainability. So I sort of wanted to shift the focus a little bit and I decided to look at modern methods of construction. That could be things like modular homes, for example.
Cool.
That's just one category of it. There's seven. So I focused in my dissertation just on the first five and they were all off-site methods. Category one is the modular, the full sort of like pods.
Cool.
Whereas I think five is, when you get like a bathroom pod and you drop it in,
Oh,
or a
I've never
utility
heard of
pod.
this before. No, that's
Yeah,
really
so
cool.
they are quite cool, but slightly different and maybe not as large scale. It's just a small element where the rest of the build could be a bit more traditional, I suppose. And then you just have that sort of pre-manufactured element to it. So I focus on the first five and I just really wanted to explore, how would we reach our house building goals in the UK quickly? Because, I don't know what it's like where you are, but here, there's lots of homeless people and there's lots of people that have to rent or they just don't have anywhere to stay. So there is definitely a demand for more homes and we're only growing as a population. So I really wanted to explore how we would get there and in the industry, who is using MMC. And I think from what I'd found out, and I spoke to some of my colleagues as a
Mm.
part of my dissertation, which is really good, and I spoke to some contractors as well, which was
Very
really great
cool.
to sort of get a different perspective. Yeah, and I found that in terms of like the full modules that you would use, not many people are using that. I think it's quite costly. I think generally perceptions from home buyers are that, it's a bit off the wall. It's not your traditional construction, and it can be a bit more challenging to get a mortgage with a home that is MMC compared to a more traditional method of construction. So I think maybe for buyers in particular, for homeowners, MMC is not the way forward for them, but for,
Government or for something else that's doing a different type of project, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. For housing associations, for example, where they're going to get, affordable tenants, affordable rent, I think for those types of people, I think MMC will be really great to provide the homes that we need. But I just, from my own research, there's not really anyone that's sort of leading in that from what I found.
Oh, that's
I think
interesting. I
because,
would expect there to be at least like maybe in like Scandinavia or like some other place that there would be a leader in MMC.
yeah, I mean, I focus mainly on the UK, so there well possibly could be someone somewhere else in the world that is doing an amazing job with this and really sort of paving the way, and there could be, and maybe that's something that I should sort of maybe research into a bit more. But here, I think because sort of the manufacturing of the pods is not really set up so much, and it's not so easy, and you've got all these logistical things with the transport, and although there is a program saving with MMC compared to the traditional form, I just think it's still a bit unknown with lots of people, and that's why it's not really taken off as much as it could. And I think there is definitely a place for it, and I think it will definitely work, but it's just if we could have one person that could just sort of pave the way in the UK and lead
Become the
on this.
person that does it. Yes, yeah, the
Yeah,
firm.
I think so. And it definitely is being done, but just not as large scale as it could be. And I'd really like to see that. I mean, it's not going to be me that paves the way, I don't think. But if I could see it, that would be great. And maybe in my career, if I had influence or maybe a client and I could, discuss that, maybe that'd be really good. And I should take my opportunity to maybe present that idea, even if it would just be a bathroom pod.
Yeah,
That's better than nothing. So
completely.
yeah, I think there's a place for it here, and it's got many advantages. Program saving is the big one. In terms of like logistics, although there is that transport to site, you might not need as many workers on site because,
It's already prefab. It's already created as like one pod, one unit.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the negative side is that you can't sort of have your customizational elements. It's very, you've got to set in your design, lock it in early on. There's not that flexibility that you would have normally. So I think that's maybe why it's not as popular with people. I mean, in terms of say if you had a defect in one element, that could be repeated across the whole site. So I think there are pros and cons to it, but I definitely think in terms of building homes fast, that could be the way forward.
I really love that you brought up the idea of modular homes. For like an industry like mine, I come from a background in mining and then I worked on a drill ship forever, but I would work in these remote situations and remote camps. What you're describing is exactly what we need. It doesn't matter about design, it doesn't matter about like individual components. We just need temporary buildings created pretty quickly, right? And created pretty easily without hiring a bunch of people, having a bunch of sub trades coming in and creating something for that one field season or for however long you're in that area. So something like a pod housing would be perfect. I mean, right now we just use trailer systems. Usually it's just a bunch of trailers, but something like a modular pod, I think could be a little bit better, but it also could probably be a little bit more sustainable as well if they use different materials. So that's wonderful that that could be something in the future within your industry. And again, like you said, just talking to a client, maybe you could bring it into play. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I found that topic really interesting to, look at. And even when I spoke to people in the industry, they are aware of MMC and the benefits to it. I had a couple where projects on it hadn't maybe worked as well as they could have done. I mean,
Yes,
negative,
happens.
experiences are good to hear too. I think people are starting to consider it a little bit more, but it's just not taken off yet. And it would be really interesting to see where it goes, maybe in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see like it does government use it? Is it for like affordable housing? Is it for maybe like remote projects? It would be very, very cool. One thing too that if I could ask as a follow-up, just because I'm gonna get messages to be like, Alexis, why did you not ask this question? Could you define what MMC stands for? Could you describe what the acronym actually stands for if someone wants to
Ah,
go and
okay.
Google it themselves?
Yeah, MMC is Modern Methods of Construction.
Okay, thank you very
Yes.
much.
There's lots of like useful documents, particularly if you go on the UK government website. There is,
Okay.
I looked at this, there's like a PDF document which sets out each of the different types. So if you want to explore a little bit more, that's quite a useful document to look at, and it's got pictures of this so you can visually see as well what the different types are.
Oh, wonderful. Cool. Is there a favorite type of the five that you were like, when you were writing, you were like, okay, this is like a little soft spot in my heart that this is my favorite type?
I definitely think it's going to have to be the full modules. I think they're really cool. And I just think the fact that you can have maybe like one floor of a home already done and just dropped into site is really interesting. I mean, it's all ready to go pretty much. I just think that's amazing that we can do that in a factory and then bring it straight to site. So I think that was probably my favorite part. I mean, there was one that's quite quirky, which was like 3D printing of a home. I mean, I'm not really sure that's going to take
Whoa.
off.
Yes, that would be a
Really, really
huge factory,
crazy.
but that's crazy. Like, that's crazy to be able to
Yeah.
even consider. Wow.
I mean, but it's out there, and obviously someone's done something with that. And although I didn't particularly focus on that one, just because I wasn't sure how
Where it
that
was
could
going to
really be
go.
applied. Yeah, I suppose looking at things like this are quite innovative, and it's just really interesting to see, what we have developed as humans and all these different, methods that we've got, and just seeing, I don't live in a MMC home, so
I don't either. I live in a like a
no.
1950s build. Like it's old. It's the opposite of an MMC.
Yeah, but I definitely, I wouldn't say no to living in one. I'm very open to that as well. And I think, yeah, like I said, with home buyers particularly, maybe having a bit more of an open mind. And I think the government definitely has work to do to promote MMC a bit more and make it easier for people to buy MMC homes. Just, I think, because there's just not a wide understanding about what it is, really.
Yeah, we just don't really know yet, or we haven't really seen an example of it. But I think that's so cool, and thank you for defining it, and thank you for walking through. I love the idea of the like the full module. I think that is just, again, from someone who's worked in remote settings, like that's exactly what we need, is just like a pre-blop sim house almost that you come in
Yeah.
and you're like, yeah, there you go, that's it. That's your camp. I think that's so useful. So I love that idea of it. Elizabeth, for you personally, is there something that you really want to accomplish within the industry? Anything that you're currently working on? I know you're working on becoming chartered, which is
Yeah.
huge in itself, and taking your vacation and then your 2 years to get your chartering. But is there anything in like the full future that you know that you're like, this is what I would like to accomplish? Anything there?
Yeah, you're asking a really hard question. Really badly, I haven't thought ahead from being a chartered project manager. I think I'm trying to take one
One
step
step at a
at a
time.
time. I'm sure there'll be something that will come along that will just take my
Spark that
interest.
curious.
Yeah, I think so. And I'll be interested to see like where I end up, because at this point in time I really don't know, but I'm really sort of happy with where I am and what I'm doing. So I'm just going to keep working through, and I will be a chartered project manager at some point, no
Yes,
matter
you
how long it
will.
takes.
No,
Yeah.
very soon. I think that that's absolutely amazing. And thank you for that answer, because I think that's so, again, mature and grounded and beautiful in itself, of just being like, yeah, I want to be happy where I'm at right now, and I am happy, and just see where it goes, like one step at a time. Who knows? I love that excitement to be like, yeah, I'm
Yeah.
excited to see where I end up, because I don't know either. Like, I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. And I suppose just for anyone that is coming into the industry, is knowing that even though, particularly here, like if you do a degree in building Spain, like I'm a great example of that, it doesn't mean you're going to be doing that for the rest of your life. You can easily sort of switch around. It's quite versatile, the skills that you'll learn. And I would just encourage anyone to take a bit of a look at the construction industry and find out a bit more. Yeah, just do your own research, because like I said, you're not taught this in school about the
No,
industry, and
not at all.
get some work experience. That was the best thing that I ever did, was get work experience to find out about what this job was, because I didn't know before I started. And I've ended up here. I've been quite fortunate, and there are so many apprenticeship schemes. I believe like National Apprenticeship Week in the UK is normally like February time, so that's a great time for people here to have a look and find out what apprenticeships there are, because there are so many great opportunities out there.
Oh, that's so amazing. Yeah, that's fantastic. And you, I mean, you're testament to it. I feel like your story, it started completely being like, I thought I wanted to be an architect and I didn't know. And then I went to one of these conventions. I found this one company. They took me on for apprenticeship. And like, look where you are now. You're in a place where you didn't expect, even with building surveyor. You went in as a building surveyor and you're like, no, you know what? Project management is more for me. Like that's really cool. And I couldn't agree more. You never really know where you're going to go, and your work experience is bar none. And I love that you've had that so early. And I can't wait to hear where you end up and kind of the next step. And yeah, that's fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where I'll end up, so that's the beauty of it. I started not really knowing like where I was gonna be, and I'm here. Like I know I want to become chartered, and where I go after that, I don't know. But I'm sure there will be something that comes along. You know, maybe MMC, for example,
Yeah,
that might take off. So
I
that could be
hope
really
so.
exciting.
I
Yeah.
hope MMC takes off, and I hope that that's where you end up. I think that would be really cool, or one avenue that you could end up. And Elizabeth, I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming out and speaking today, and for talking more about your industry and your pathway and how you discovered it and what you're excited about and what you love about your job, and just having a more well-rounded view of construction and maybe something different that people didn't expect or didn't know about before they listened to this episode. So just thank you so much for coming out and coming on to the show today. It was so lovely speaking with you.
Thank you very much for having me. I've had a great time, so thank you.
Oh, me too as well. This is so cool. Well, thank you, Elizabeth, and thank you for guys for listening. If you are listening, this is the Smoko Podcast. We will see you next week. Ta-ta for now. Bye.